So why don't you start by introducing yourself and tell me your name, where you're from, and when you were born.
I'm Roxanne Garland. I am from Point Marion, Pennsylvania, and I was born July 20th, 1960.
All right. And tell me a little bit about your family background.
I have two brothers, one older and one younger. My one brother, he's over in Landenburg, PA. My other brother lives here in Point Marion. My mother and father, my father passed away about 6 years ago. My mom about 2 years ago. I've lived in Point Marion and in Morgantown. What else do you want to know?
What did your parents do?
Okay, my dad was a coal miner. Well, first he worked on the riverboats, and then he got a job in the coal mine, and he retired being a section boss in the coal mine. My mother was a stay-at-home mother until my dad retired, and then she went to work in retail at Bonton, and then from there she went to work as an assistant in a dental office until she retired from there.
What brought you to West Virginia from Pennsylvania?
I was born and raised here.
Okay.
And then when my husband and I got married, he's from Morgantown, West Virginia. We moved up there for about 7 years, and the housing was cheaper. It's like 2 minutes to the state line, 2 miles to the state line from where I live. So the housing was cheaper here. So we moved back down into Point Marion from Morgantown.
Nice. And what's your job at Kroger and role in the union?
My job at Kroger, Kroger calls us leaders now instead of department heads. I am the drug general merchandise leader for A13 in Morgantown. I run the department, manage it. And in the union, I am just the shop steward in our store.
And how long have you worked for Kroger?
42 years.
Nice. So why don't you tell me a little bit about the recent union negotiations, what they were about, and how it all started?
Well, the negotiations started because our contract expired, and they usually run anywhere. The contracts run anywhere from 2 to 5 years, depending on what the union and Kroger agree upon. This contract was a little bit more difficult to get. They're always all difficult because Kroger doesn't want to give, and union, you know, you shoot for the moon and stars and hope for somewhere in between. But the woman that we have as president of our Mid-Atlantic marketing area, she was doing the negotiations. She was employed in upper management with Walmart. So she has never really dealt with a union or a negotiation. So that's what made it, I think, a little more difficult this time. She didn't know how to negotiate. It was demand, this is what we're doing, and that's it. Well, she found out it doesn't work that way, which is good for us. The main focus on our contracts, and it has been for the past, I would say, three contracts, is health and welfare, to keep health and welfare intact. We always know we're going to end up having to pay probably a little bit more somewhere for our premiums because it's just the nature of the beast right now.
Right.
But we don't want to go backwards in it. We want to keep what we have and move forward with it. So that is always a very hard bargaining part of the contract so we can keep this, because Kroger has dealt with other divisions and other areas where they have been successful in doing something different with the health and welfare in those areas, and they have taken cuts. And we are at, in our area, we are an older division, especially in West Virginia. We've been around a lot longer than us, a lot of these newer divisions in Crow. Mm-hmm. So we have earned what we've gotten through many, many years instead of just starting out new. Mm-hmm. And Kroger just would like for everybody to be on the same page, it seems like, with everything. And we won't do that. We won't go backwards for them. Mm-hmm. We did it once. We'll never do it again. But that was the main focus. And then, of course, it's always wages.
Right.
That always comes in play. And so what they like to do is, okay, if we're going to do this with your health care, keep your health care on that, then you're not getting raises. Mm-hmm. Or your premium is going to have to go up. So we're going to give you this little raise. And all that does is help pay for your premium. You really, truly don't get a cost of living mm-hmm. raise at that point. Unfortunately, I was not in on the negotiations this time, so I really don't know the ins and outs of everything that was going on. All I know is that they finally came around and they settled on the middle. And I feel that it was a pretty good contract. It really was. Now there's some people that won't say it is, but I thought it was pretty fair. Mm-hmm. For what they did. And they did some new things in the contract too, which was encouraging instead of seeing the same wages, because you have some stores that are very high volume store where you are, it's a lot harder to manage mm-hmm. than say a smaller store that does less business, yeah. but you were getting the same amount of pay. Mm-hmm. Well, they kind of did away with that and gave people in a higher volume store a little bit more money to be a department leader.
I see.
Cause of the headaches.
Right.
know the truth.
Yeah. And did you participate in a car caravan protest or a socially distant?
They didn't have any car caravan protest up in Morgantown.
Okay.
The nearest one was Parkersburg, which was an hour and a half away from me. Anytime I got off work, it would have been over down mm-hmm. there. But we did have rallies up in Morgantown finally. And yes, I participated in the several they had in Morgantown and a couple that they had up in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And we socially distanced and wore a mask and just to bring awareness to the public of what was going on.
Right. Was there any, what was the response from the public in general?
The majority of them were very supportive of us because we were letting them know that they were wanted to, of course, take away big chunk of our health care mm-hmm. and that we wanted raises. And especially during the pandemic,
right.
where that's we'll get into that later.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were very supportive. I mean, you have a few smart butts that
right.
will yell
right.
certain things, but no, mostly the public is very supportive. Mm-hmm. And you get some of the public that will call. There's an 800 number for Kroger that they can call about any issues they may have, and they have some that. Had called in about, you know, our contract and what they wanted to see the employees get. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. They were very supportive. And also the legislative, even though it was an election year, I know that, but they were very supportive in coming out and rallying with us and speaking and supporting us.
Nice. What was Kroger's attitude at the bargaining table, in your opinion? I know you weren't involved in the negotiations, but.
Well, from what I, you know, what I heard, they're always, from what I heard of this time around, it was more or less demand. And there was no negotiating, like, all right, their attitude was, thinking we were going to roll over and just take whatever they offered us. But it doesn't work that way. And part of that is because of the inexperience, like I said, with our president of the Mid-Atlantic, and I think there was two other people with her that had only negotiated one or two contracts prior to this. So they just, the newness of it all. And thank God for Brian Bond. He has done this for many, many years, and he did a wonderful job hanging in there, and he was getting very frustrated with them. They were not willing to negotiate. They wanted to stick to their hard, fast offer. But even as far as being so brazen as putting a proposal out there without really notifying the union, except for that morning after they kind of put it out there that they were doing this. Well, once that happened, we had to vote on it.
Wow.
So then there's that power play, you know, we had to really talk the proposal down because it was terrible. And then they were like, okay, we're going to call bluffs now. So that's when we did our strike vote. And we voted to strike, and it pretty much sent them a message to like the unity we had, and this, we were standing together as one, and we were not going to be take it, and we were willing to walk, because I think they didn't think we would walk if they didn't really come to the table and bargain. But then after that, they even had a mediator to come in to help the negotiations. I really don't know what happened after that, why they kind of started coming around and really negotiating. I do not know if somebody from higher up in corporate stepped in, or I couldn't tell you, but because we really thought we were going to end up on strike. We really did, the way things were going at the beginning.
Wow. And have you been involved in actions in the past through the union?
Yes. I was on a negotiating committee once. I had been shop steward a long time ago. Then I had two boys and life got busy. So I stepped down from that. And then about six years ago or so, they had asked me to do it again. And my boys were grown out of college. So I said, sure, I'll do it. So yeah, I did the negotiating on one contract. The second contract I was involved, and that was where we went around and did all these rallies in Charleston, went in to inform the employees what was going on. That was pretty much what I did with the last contract, just doing the rallies, going around and informing employees. And then of course this contract, it was all different because of COVID.
Right.
But I did perform the rallies and just kept trying to inform people, our employees, what the correct things that were going on. Cause the gossip starts and I'm very fortunate, knock on wood, our managers at our store, were not the type to start rumors or to, really try to step in and convince employees like some managers do to take the proposal. It's good. You know, they want you to tell the employees that, oh, you should take this. But our managers aren't that way. They kind of step back and just let the company and the union deal with it. But I know for a fact that Kroger likes to have their managers to get involved and try to sway employees to vote for it.
Right.
But that's all that's, you know, and then just the shop being the shop stores, that's I don't know if you're familiar what a shop store does, but.
Yeah. Tell me. So you basically are the union rep within the store, within the rank and file.
Right. I answer questions that anybody may have. I talk to new hires, and there are several of us, but I'm kind of like the lead one that does the most work. There's always one, right?
Yeah.
But we talked to new hires, try to get them signed up in the union, do a brief explanation of what the union's about, because a lot, this generation coming up has no clue about unions or what they stand for or how they can help.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's a situation between management and employee, I'm the go-between, or I sit in, or another steward sits in the meeting. We file grievances if an employee has a grievance. That's pretty much the extent of my role. After we do that part, then it goes on up to Anita, who is actually employed by the union, to handle it, everything else.
I see. And did you grow up with an awareness of the union because of your dad?
Well, yes. And my brother also was a coal miner. And so, yes, they did start out in the coal mines in the union. Mm-hmm. Yes. And at that time, when I started with Kroger, it was not right to work state.
Yeah.
So it was closed shop. You had to join no matter what.
Right, right. Yeah. So tell me about your experience as an essential worker during the pandemic and, you know, with
I didn't hear your last part with what?
Oh yeah. During the pandemic, with Kroger and, you know, just generally, what are your concerns? What are your experiences?
Well, when it all started back in March, Kroger was, of course, they were trying to do the right thing and make sure everything was being cleaned, counting the people that came in. But as time went on, that kind of went by the wayside. They do put cleaning product, like if somebody wants to clean their cart, they put a cleaning spray bottle and wipes out in the vestibule where the buggies are for customers to clean. As far as I know, we do not clean any of the buggies anymore. They do not clean anything in the store anymore.
Wow.
We have to wear the mask. There are employees that work the midnight shift that do not wear the mask, and has been brought up several times to management, and it has not been enforced for them to wear the mask. So that's a very big concern.
Yeah.
You know, you're working in the aisles and you're trying to not, it's busy. You try not to get in customers' way. You try to do the social distancing, but it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
You still have some people that come in and customers that won't wear a mask. You know, you have to ask them, you know, I see not too many, but you see one once in a while.
Yeah.
We've been fortunate. We've had some breakouts amongst the employees, but nothing serious and not that many. But when we have a breakout, Kroger is supposed to come in and sanitize and clean. So their definition of cleaning and sanitizing is bringing a couple old people in with a spray bottle and a rag and clean a little bit. That's the extent it goes. So I just don't, I think Kroger is just going through what they have to at the bare minimum with this. I don't know where the ball is being dropped, if it's corporate, if it's in between, or if it's at the managerial level in the store. I really don't know that. But it just, I don't think people take it as serious as they used to. There's some that do, but I just don't think, I mean, because you're in a break room, you take your mask off to eat, you can't social distance 6 feet in our break room because of the number of employees we have.
Right, right.
So, you know, that's an issue. But what, you know, there's not much you can do about that really. But for the most part, the employees are very good about wearing their mask and doing what they're supposed to do and wearing the mask properly. I do worry. Yes, I worry because you can catch it from anybody, anybody in the store.
Right.
My husband's retired. He used to work at Kroger. And I have a son still living at home. He's back in college and working part-time at a bank. Uh-huh. You know, you worry about bringing it home to him or being asymptomatic and spreading it somewhere else.
Right.
It's not like you can work from home being in our job, but Kremer doesn't feel that we're essential either. And that's what really bothers me. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, first they weren't even going to give us the pay rate,
right?
You know, Walmart and all these other businesses came up and started doing it, and I think it made Kroger look bad, so they went ahead and did it too for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, now once in a while they'll give us 100 fuel points, or I think this last time they gave us $100 on our Kroger card where we could use. So mm-hmm. I guess it's better than nothing, because a lot of businesses aren't giving the pay anymore. And they're, it just really irks you that the day they took our COVID pay away, the CEO of Kroger got like a 21% raise.
Yeah.
And that was like millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, really? That is so poor timing. Mm-hmm. And it looks so bad.
Definitely.
But they're making, I mean, their business is up. They're making money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone else said that they were also, there were like some serious markups in the store too, since the pandemic, because there's so much demand for things.
That's probably true. Now, I don't see it in my department. Because uh-huh. Rubbing alcohol.
Yeah.
The gloves and other things hand soap was there for a while, but we got it back in. Hand sanitizer, but we got hand sanitizer now. Yeah. So I'm not seeing it as much. Now, in the grocery department, I know they're cleaning supplies. It's been iffy if they get them in. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they probably did mark stuff up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure, like with the mask, some of the masks we got in, it was like the retail on them. You looked at it and think, my God, you know, but we can't see what they pay for. We can see what costs they put in the computer system, uh-huh. but I don't know if that's what they paid for.
Right. Buy. Right. Yeah.
Or if that's what they just charged the store for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the hazard pay, that was like 3 months basically.
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts and concerns going into this winter?
Well, the spike is real. You see it on the news about the spike and, mm-hmm. and being enclosed more. Where we are, the saving grace is that West Virginia University, of course, they didn't come back uh-huh. from Thanksgiving. So we don't have the student influx where the students were more apt to not do the social distancing, doing the mm-hmm. partying and that. And they were the ones to more or less be the spreaders.
Right.
So right now they are not in town. I do not know what they're going to do yet after the holidays, if they're coming back or if they're going to do everything virtual. Mm-hmm. We're waiting to hear that. So that's a saving grace, but with everybody being indoors, people go outside. Like some people would take their breaks outside, mm-hmm. but now with the cold weather, there's going to be more people in the break room and whatnot. So yeah, it is a concern, mm-hmm. But I try not to worry about it. I try not to have, I mean, I can't say much because we just went to Oklahoma to visit my son to have a Christmas with my son and his family. Mm-hmm. We flew. Yeah. Used my hand sanitizers, wear my mask, you know, wipe stuff down with the Clorox wipes. That's about all you can do.
Right, right. I mean, you just have to kind of try to live your right life and take, you know, everything's a risk. So you just got to weigh it all, you know.
Right. I feel Kroger could do a better job as far as like cleaning the break room. Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, they don't sanitize it. They don't clean it every day.
Yeah.
I think they could make it a point more to do that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I just, I don't, I just don't worry as much about it. I'm cautious.
Yeah.
And I'm careful, but I don't worry about it. I guess it's because Morgantown, I mean, yes, there's cases, but we're not like New York City and California, the really highly populated areas.
Yeah.
And the bigger cities.
Right.
So until students come back and I, you know, if it starts spiking after students come back, then I think I will be more concerned.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now that the vaccine's here, I like to see what Kroger's going to do for their employees about a vaccine.
Yeah, definitely. Has there been any word about that or no?
No, not at all. Because right now, I think it's, well, I'm really not, from what I understand, it's supposed to be just like healthcare workers not getting it.
Mm-hmm, right.
First responders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess, you know, as you're 42 years in, what in general are your main concerns as a Kroger worker in terms of healthcare, salary, et cetera? Mm-hmm.
My main concern, I'm very fortunate that we were able to make a living working there. You know, we weren't rich by any means, but we didn't want for anything either. I just don't see a future for anybody there. At one time we made more, of course this is years and years and years ago, you know, 30 some years ago, we made more than teachers did working there. And had better health insurance. But as the competition came in and that, of course, that slowly went away. But people cannot make a living there. And I just feel that Kroger doesn't want them to. I just don't feel that they want them around long term. But to do everything, all the technology that Kroger is putting in and all the computer programs that they use, in our area, I just feel that they're at a disadvantage getting the right people in the job to do this.
Right.
I don't want to sound high and mighty, but you know, there's some people that they just, it's above them as far as understanding how it works. And I don't know if they could ever get to that level. I mean, not everybody can be a department leader and run a department with the employees that we get. You know, when you have Sheets and other places paying more per hour starting out, and they're the unemployment rate in Morgantown is very low, the pool that you pull from to get your employees is not the best. So my concern for at least my area is the people that are coming up being able to have a quality of life working with the Kroger company in the future. I just don't see it. But they don't. I mean, they have a few that stay lifetimers, but not like how it used to be. That's I'm going to retire in a couple of years. So I'm on my way out, thank God. I hate to say that. But because their Kroger's expectations, you know, they cut their overhead. So they're going to cut the hours and on the labor, because that's the easiest way to do it. So they've really cut it hours way back. So it's very hard, difficult to do the job, honestly. And then you have management that is really new, upper corporate. They, you know, they restructured a lot. A lot of the older people have retired, took buyouts. So you have new people in there that have never worked in the grocery business. And the way they do their business, there's the communication's terrible. It just, I just, I've seen a really decline in the Kroger company. It used to be one of the best companies to work for, best companies to go into management with. Mm-hmm. But it's like they wanted to be, not knocking Walmart, but when Walmart came and got so big, they were trying to structure themselves after Walmart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's pretty much where they're at now. It's not the company it used to be at all.
Yeah, totally. Have you liked your job?
I used to like my job. Uh-huh. Yes. Now, not as much.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stress. Right. A lot of working really hard, I'm a perfectionist, so mm-hmm. I've gotten a lot better with that, but you know, just to get it to the level where I think it should be, Kroger doesn't allow you the hours and the time to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they expect it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's hard because you have a turnover and there's always the training going on because you have the college students. Now, I'm sure it's different in other places. They might not have it as bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I can't say that I really like my job now. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, is there anything else? Well, also, do you have any retirement plans?
Retirement plans?
Dreams?
Just be able to retire early because I'm going to be 62 when I retire. Mm-hmm. Be like 62 and a half. And my husband, he retired at 65. And he said it took the last couple of years took a toll on like his knees and everything. And mm-hmm. he said, you're not going to work to 65 because that's to get full benefits. You know, I have to be 65. I think my Social Security now is 67. Mm-hmm. But he says, we will be fine. You know, we've invested our money. We have other sources of retirement besides the pension and Social Security. So he promised me I can go at 62 and I am going because I don't know if I could, do the job, to be honest with you. Yeah. I just don't think I wouldn't want to do the job, mm-hmm. at least not being in the lead position.
Yeah. Right. It's a lot of responsibility.
Right. So, you know, after retire, we thought we'd maybe do a little traveling and just, I don't know, just relax.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what the future holds. I know he's been enjoying it. He went in April. He started in April this year. He went just time for the pandemic or March. He went in March because he was like, oh, this is the first time I get to do March Madness. You know, he's a big college basketball fan. And then the pandemic hit and he's like, I can't believe this.
Oh, no.
No March Madness.
Yeah, right. Well, is there anything else you would like to share that we haven't covered?
I don't think so. I mean, I would love to see just somebody else get into the CEO position of Kroger. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, you know, the one we had before this and before Rodney McMullen, mm-hmm. he was a people person and he cared about his employees.
Mm-hmm.
So we were treated different. Rodney McMullen is an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
So he looks at figures all the time.
Yeah.
And that's what he looks at. He doesn't care about the people or the employees. It seems like as much at all.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice if they could get back to that. I just think it would just be such a better work environment and just restructure their business, kind of how they do things. Like most of the time, the hours that they allot for the store, they say it goes by tonnage that comes in, but it doesn't. Mm-hmm. They go by a lot of times, some of it's your sales, but it's linear feet of your store and your department. Well, that's fine and dandy, but if you're a high volume store and you're turning over product, you have to work harder to keep it filled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they don't allow for that.
Right. Wow.
So if you have a store that has the same linear feet but doesn't do the business like we do,
mm-hmm.
they'll probably get close to the same hours, and but it's not a stress for them to try to get things done because they don't have the pro, you know, they're just don't have to the volume there to mm-hmm. try to keep up with everything.
Right.
I'd like to see that changed in the Kroger company. It'd be nice if they were, and they up their starting wage to a livable, I don't expect people to get rich, but mm-hmm. not to be in poverty either.
Right. Right.
When you're working, trying to make a living with Kroger. I mean,
yeah. Definitely.
That's what I would really like to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The future of Kroger. So,
yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Oh, no problem. So, can I ask you, what do you do?
Yeah. So, I'm a folklorist, and I work for the West Virginia Humanities Council. So, normally, I travel around the state and do interviews like this with traditional artists and workers and cultural communities, documenting. With interviews and photos and video. And then we also do programming, like we have an apprenticeship program that pairs traditional, you know, a master traditional artist with a younger practitioner. So they learn and, you know, commit to continuing the tradition.
Oh, nice. So do you guys write? I mean, is there a magazine or what?
So I write a regular column for Golden Seal magazine, and then I've actually been working on a book, and we have a website, wvfolklife.org.
Oh, okay.
That has some of our interviews up on it. And yeah, so I'm not exactly sure what, so I know that this will go in our archive.
Right.
It's at WVU Libraries, and I'll send you a release form so we can use that interview.
Okay.
I've thought about maybe this could be a podcast about, you know, working during the pandemic, but if we decided to do anything with it, we would definitely run it by you first. So,
okay.
Yeah. So that's our plan right now. And I'll email you the release form, and you can either email it back to me after you signed it, or send it in the mail.
Okay. All right.
Well, thanks so much, and happy holidays.
I hope I was some help.
This was really great. It's been really eye-opening to talk to everyone. I'll send this your way, and take care. Hope you guys have a good holiday.
You too. I'm sorry again about yesterday.
Oh, no problem. All right. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Thanks.